GoFundMeTrinity.com.
This is not, of course, the only area we see this. One of the things we've noticed probably a lot is that a lot of times we have that same kind of attitude spread throughout professional sports, right? Like, I'm a sports fan, I love it, but there's a lot of this going on these days, a lot of self-promotion going on. It's true in all sports, but wow, just for me, it seems like one of those things that has really taken over the NBA. Watching a lot of the playoffs and the Bucks, which is awesome, glad to see it and all that. And I have to admit, I didn't watch a lot of basketball for a lot of years, but, you know, Bob got me kind of hooked back on that a few years ago. So good job, Bob, I guess. Thanks. I needed something else to distract me. but, and you know, I preferred college basketball, but man, some of the plays that you see in the NBA are just amazing. And yet, like, every missed shot is a player begging for a foul, right? You know, or every made shot is celebrated extravagantly, right? If you make a three-pointer, you have some sort of celebration routine, right? Right? All these sorts of things going on. Every dunk is like someone has to flex or shout, yeah, point to their biceps, you know, so strong. Even after a guy makes a free throw, like every player on the team and then most of the cheerleaders come up and have to slap them five, right? Okay, good job, you made a free throw. And they do it even if he misses, right? So it just draws so much attention to the individual, right? I am this, I am that, I, me. You know, and I get that there's a certain level of showmanship going on in entertainment and all that, but sometimes it seems like someone needs to stand up and shout like the mom from The Incredibles, it's not about you. It's not about you. Now, that's fine. That's sports. That's the NBA. That's whatever. But what about in our own lives as Christians, right? Sometimes we need someone to stand up and shout, it's not about you. Philippians 2, 3 through 11 tells us that as Christians, that here's what we're to do. Nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count yourselves more significant than, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's this beautiful passage talking about humility. Humility. It talks about the perspective that we're supposed to have about ourselves. It talks about the way we're supposed to prefer others. And it talks about the way Jesus emptied himself for our sake, and because of his humility, God would exalt him above every other name. It's this beautiful passage, but James 4:10 sums it up so succinctly when he says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Because one of the things that God loves is humility. Humility, right? And that's our theme for today. God loves humility. Now, the New Testament word for humility is kind of a mouthful. It's tapenophrosune. Tapenophrosune. You can try and pronounce it there if you want. Tapenophrosune. And it comes from two Greek root words, meaning one meaning low and humble, and the other meaning moderation as regulated by inner perspective. Okay? So it refers to this lowliness of human pride and having a humble opinion of oneself or a littleness of mind. In Scripture, when you talk about humility, it's an inside-out kind of virtue, right? It starts internally, but it affects our outward behavior. Okay, so when we compare ourselves to the Lord rather than to other people or one another, it keeps us from self-pride and from exalting ourselves instead of Him. It ultimately should lead us to bring our behavior into alignment with God's desires. Humility should lead us as believers to live with a dependence on God rather than ourselves. Should lead us to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So that's what biblical humility is about. It's one of the things God loves. God loves humility. A couple of verses about this. Proverbs 3:34 says this, "Toward the scorners," or mockers, some translations say, "he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor." Right? The same proverb is reflected and kind of paraphrased, quoted in some New Testament writings as well. James 4:6-7 says, "He gives more grace. Therefore," it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." And again in 1 Peter, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you." So humility, clearly something God loves and wants us, of course, to put that on display. So this morning, I want us to consider humility on three different levels, because I think each one of them is pretty important. So three different levels: humility before God, humility with others, and humility of self. Right? Humility before God, humility with others, and humility of self. So first of all, humility before God. Now, theoretically, this should be one of the easiest areas for us to have humility in, right? Simply because he's God and we're not. I mean, how could we not be humble before him? How could we not want to be humble before him? You know, in the book of Job, God speaks to Job and asks him these questions, a few chapters worth of questions, and they all kind of amount to this: "Who are you, O mere mortal one, right, that you dare contend with me?" Right? Job 38, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, and I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment from the wicked. Their light is withheld and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." Right? And on it goes. It should really be no problem for us to be humble before God. And yet so many people are unwilling to surrender fully to him. And I know that when I say that, oftentimes what comes into our mind right away are the people who reject God, the people who are not followers of Jesus, right? Those people, they're the ones who are not humble before God. But I'm not talking about them. I'm saying even for us who are followers of Jesus, we hold back in so many areas of our life. We won't fully surrender to him. When we're unwilling to humble ourselves before God, I think here's something that's really going on. We know that God is good. We know that God is wise. We know that God is powerful. But if we won't humble ourselves before God, it's likely that we don't trust either his goodness or his wisdom or his power. Right? If we lack humility before God, it's because we don't trust his goodness, his wisdom, or his power. Now think about the goodness of God. Like if we don't believe he's truly good, well, then we'll turn on him when things get hard. We'll blame him when bad things happen. We'll stop believing when we see pain and hurt and sorrow or experience those things. But if we humble ourselves and trust him in those circumstances, we're going to experience a God who is good because he grieves with us and he mourns with us and he walks with us as he redeems our hurt and heals our hearts. We'll experience a God who picks us up and keeps us going, who keeps us breathing when our world is shattered. We'll experience a God who gives us strength to go on when we can't seem to face another day. We won't experience that if we don't trust that he is truly good. Think about the wisdom of God. If we don't believe God is truly wise, then we won't listen to what he wants us to do, to what he has to say. We won't choose to obey him because for some reason, we think we know better than him what's best for us. Or think about the power of God. If we don't believe God is truly powerful, we'll try to do things in our own strength and power. Just like Abraham and Sarah, who kind of took matters into their own hands instead of humbly waiting on God. They doubted the power of God. If we won't humble ourselves before God, it's likely we won't trust his goodness, his wisdom, or his power. At least one of them. But when we trust that he's good and wise and powerful, it's easy for us to have a humble posture before him. Right? And so that's humility between us and God, very important aspect. But humility isn't just about our relationship with God, that's important, but we're also supposed to be humble with others as well, right? Humility with others. I want you to take a look at this video from Nick Vujicic.
Many people ask me who my mentors are. One thing in common that they all have is humility. They knowing that we all are in the same boat. Everyone has challenges, everyone has different gifts, and we're in this together. I have learned that if I ever become a person who feels like I'm better than someone else, is when I start putting barriers up, when I start becoming less transparent, when I'm not as compassionate, when I'm not as loving and giving. You know, more than the goal that I achieve or the success that I have, is who I affect along the way. And to love and impart encouragement to people around me, that always begins with humility. To care for someone means you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about them. The greatest thing to start with when you're planning for success is to be humble.
You know, the Cambridge Dictionary defines humility as the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others. Right? You have no special importance that makes you better than others. When it comes to humility with others, I like that definition. It's pretty good. Jesus told a story to his disciples that you're probably familiar with. Luke 14, it says, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you'll begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Right? That's the posture we need to have. We need a humility with others. We need to put other people before ourselves. We need to see the people around us and acknowledge their needs and remind ourselves it's not about me. Heard a story this week of a guy who, sticking with the sports theme today, a guy who played basketball and when he was in high school. And he loved basketball, worked really hard at it, wasn't all that great. There was always players on the team who were better than him, kind of lacked for playing time. And one player in particular who was really good, and even though he worked just as hard as everybody else, this guy didn't have the talent that the star of the team had. And somewhere along the lines, as they went to an away game, they were on a game, and the guy's shoes got blown out for some reason. And he didn't have shoes to wear for the game. And the player who normally rides the bench kind of had this moment, this opportunity, where he could have said, you know what, I might get a chance to play today. Today might be my day to be the star. Today might be my day to get the playing time and to be the hero. But in humility, he realized that wasn't what was best for the team, and it wasn't what was best for this other player. He gave up his shoes, sat on the bench through the game in his socks, gave up his shoes so that the star player could play in the game, and of course, they won the game. Now, what's interesting is that in that moment, he had this opportunity to let himself be known, to make himself known, but in humility, he deferred to somebody else and to the good of the team. Now, in a way, he said, I kind of got to be the hero, because you know how many people came up to me after the game and said, oh yeah, that was so cool that you did that. That was great that you gave up your opportunity to play for the sake of the team. So he got to be a hero in some senses, but that certainly wasn't his point. That certainly wasn't his point. When it comes to humility with others, we need to be willing to put others before ourselves. We need to have a humility with God. We need to have a humility with others. And then there's the last area. We need to have a humility of self. A humility of self. One more video clip for you. Go ahead and play the next one.
Uh-oh, it's Scary Scientist Man.
Okay, Phoebe, this is it. In this briefcase, I carry actual scientific facts. A briefcase of facts, if you will. Some of these fossils are over 200 million years old.
Okay, look, before you even start, I'm not denying evolution, okay? I'm just saying that it's one of the possibilities.
It's the only possibility, Phoebe.
Okay, Ross, could you just open your mind like this much? Okay. Now, wasn't there a time when the brightest minds in the world believed that the Earth was flat? And up until, 50 years ago, you all thought the atom was the smallest thing until you split it open and this, whole mess of crap came out. Now, are you telling me that you are so unbelievably arrogant that you can't admit that there's a teeny tiny possibility that you could be wrong about this?
There might be a teeny tiny possibility.
I can't believe you caved.
What?
You just abandoned your whole belief system. Before, I didn't agree with you, but at least I respected you. How are you going to go into work tomorrow? How are you going to face the other science guys? How are you going to face yourself?
Just like that. humility of self. Now, it isn't supposed to be about thinking poorly or badly of yourself, which, of course, Phoebe kind of maybe accented that point. That's not what we're looking at. But it's about viewing ourselves properly, viewing ourselves correctly. Right? Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." It's not that we see ourselves as worthless, but rather than having an inflated ego, we seek to have a humble heart, one like Jesus. When we have a humble perspective within us, it will spill out into every aspect of our life. Watched a video this week that was telling a story, and I debated showing it here this morning, but the video quality was pretty poor, and it was kind of lengthy and drawn out. But the video wasn't great, but the story was really good. And what we saw in this story was a boy who was probably teenager, and it was someplace overseas. I believe it was like Taiwan or something like that. And this boy kind of pulled up on the shore, and there had been some water there that had subsided. People would walk across it from the stretch of ground to get out into the water. And most of it, even though it was wet, was a little, was solid. But there were some places in different spaces throughout the stretch where the ground was so soft and the water was so much that it kind of created a little sinkhole, a few feet deep. And what you saw in this video was this boy who sees this elderly couple who had been walking out to take some pictures and do some things, and they had stepped into one of these small sinkholes. And so they were stuck in this hole with kind of mud around their legs up to just over their knee. And he saw this, and he walked across and tried to help. And the first thing he did was try and pull the guy out, and he couldn't do it. The older couple was just too frail to pull themselves out. So he tried to lift him up under his arms, and it didn't work. So he took his camera equipment that he had in the bag and walked that over to the side and came back and tried to do it again. Didn't work. Then he walked around to the elderly woman and tried to lift her out as well. Couldn't do it. Took her bag and her purse and set it off to the side and came back and tried one more time. Couldn't do it. Finally, he realized what he had to do, and he walked around and lay down, face down to the mud, over the top of this small mud hole. And he just allowed each of the individuals from that couple to kind of push themselves onto his back and to roll themselves out and to pull their legs out and to stand up and free themselves from the mud. One after the other, they did this, and then when it was over, he said goodbye to them and kind of went back to his boat. No big accolades, nothing like that. And as I was watching this, I thought, that is such a picture of humility, right? That you're willing to just lay down and be used to set someone free. Three aspects of humility: humility before God, humility with others, and humility of self. As we close this morning, I want us to think about Jesus. He was a model of all three levels of this. He was humble before God the Father. Not once did he ever do something that God the Father didn't want him to do. Not once. Even at his death, when he asked for and certainly wanted the cup he was about to drink to pass him by and be removed, he still surrendered to the will of God the Father. He himself was God, yet he had the ultimate humility before God the Father. He was also humble with others. I mean, here was Jesus, God in the flesh, yet he chose a few handfuls of outcasts and rejects and nobodies to be his disciples. And they were constantly missing the point of his teachings and his actions. They were constantly messing up. Surely he could have found better candidates, right? But he chose them. He was patient with them. And despite the fact that they were so far below him, he saw them as friends. Not servants, but friends. He was never too good for anyone. He had a great humility with others. And yet none of these acts of humility were an act. Right? He wasn't just putting on a show. They flowed from the humility he had within himself. Jesus himself was humble. Like that passage we started with today in Philippians. It says, although he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He demonstrated humility of self, even though it cost him his life. And Philippians tells us, we're supposed to have the same mindset, to be like Jesus. We're supposed to have a humility before God, a humility with others, and a humility of self. As we kind of wrap up today, I want to ask just a simple question based on one of the stories we heard. Are we willing to lay down in the mud? Like, will we be willing to lay down in the mud? And as I thought about that imagery, I think it's relevant to all three areas of humility. Like, will we be willing to lay ourselves down before God, who is so much greater than we are, to humble ourselves and be willing to fall before him face down in worship, in reverence, in obedience, in respect, in humility? Are we willing to lay down in the mud for the sake of others? Right? To put others before ourselves, to be selfless, that ultimately the goal and the hope is that in our humility, we'll be the ones who other people can use to come to know Jesus, to be rescued, to be saved, to find salvation, because we're willing to lay ourselves down. And do we have this humility of self? You know, someone who isn't, are we someone who isn't, doesn't see laying down in the mud as below us? Right? Like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm too good for that. I'm not willing to get dirty. Do we have a humility before God with others and of ourselves, that we're willing to lay down in the mud so that we can be more like Jesus? We're going to pray this morning and close with one more song of worship that really reflects this idea of humility. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning as we worship you, as we think of you, as we keep our hearts focused on you, we want to be people who come before you humbly, who sets aside our pride, our ego, our self, who is willing to lay down in the mud, to get a little dirty, who's willing to bow ourselves down before you because you are so great, who's willing to be humble before and with others so that they can come to know you, that we put them first instead of just thinking of ourselves, and that this all flows from a place where our hearts are in a humble place, that we are just simply acknowledging that we aren't some great thing. we're able to see ourselves for who we truly are. Yes, we are your creation, and yes, we are worthwhile to you. We are no better than anyone else. And so we humble ourselves and ask for you to give us that humbleness of heart. And that as we embrace that, that it would spill out into the different areas of our life, with others and before you. Help us, Father, to have this attitude in us, this mind in us. The mind of Christ who emptied himself for our sake. Help us to be more like him. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we close in worship this morning.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.